church family. Welcome to Church News. I'm Ava, and this is Caleb, and we are so happy that you're here with us today. Caleb, what do you got for us?
We have debt cancellation. As you may or may not know, we are currently doing a debt cancellation campaign to pay off our building by June of this year. But we need your help. Please continue to pray and ask how God would lead your family to give towards debt cancellation. We're so close to being debt-free, and together, we can make it happen. We thank you for being a part of this with us.
Growth Track helps you discover the ins and outs of Only Believe. It helps you learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them and serve in this church. And it gives you the perfect opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month, right after church service, and there's lunch and childcare provided. If you would like to sign up for Growth Track, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get you signed up there, or you can scan the QR code on the screen.
Easter is coming up and we'll be here before we know it. And we are super excited for our Good Friday and Easter services this year. We are working on something very special, and we want you to be praying and asking God to lead you to invite people to come to these services. We are praying and believing that many lost people would come and be found by Jesus during these services. So please be praying and asking God to open doors for you to invite your coworkers, friends, and neighbors to our Good Friday and Easter services this year. We hope to see you there.
And then next is our super early heads up about Serve Week happening in July. But why are we mentioning this in March, you may be wondering? Well, it's because we need your ideas. We want to hear some of your awesome ideas for how we can love our neighbors during Serve Week this year. So if you have ideas that you'd like to share, you can head on out to the Welcome Center and put your name on the Serve Week list. And then Pastor Tim will set up a time to talk to you about your ideas. We want to thank you so much for your hearts to serve and to love and reach the lost.
Have you decided to follow Jesus and don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Jesus. It is an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Yes, and then we have First Saturday prayer. Here at Only Believe, we believe in the power of prayer, and that is why we do First Saturday prayer. First Saturday prayer is where we gather together at the beginning of each month to pray for all that the Lord wants to do in us and through us in the coming month. This one-hour prayer service consists of worship, an encouraging word, corporate prayer, and personal prayer. We would love to see you each month at First Saturday prayer.
We are in our final week of our series, Built Different. Last week, we looked at Peter and how he was built different in learning humility. This week, we're looking at the final person in the Bible who was truly built different. We pray this series has been a blessing to you and your family as we all strive to be truly built different. We hope each message has challenged and encouraged you and your family to step in faith and believe that God can and will do amazing things in you and your family's lives. We are excited to finish up our series today. But please, don't forget to invite families you know to come to church with you.
And if you have any questions or if you want information about anything we just talked about, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and they will answer any of your questions that you have. Now, let's prepare our hearts and our minds as we dive into God's Word, concluding our series, Built Different.
Amen and amen. Only Believe. You are a church that does not avoid hard things. I'm already starting. I am on it. I've been just biting the bullet to get out of the gate. My dad used to say, I'd say, Dad, are you ready for service? He said, let me at him. Why do we have all these things to do? Let me go. Let me out of the gate. I feel it. Why? Because the word of the Lord has come to change our life. Amen. We as a church do not avoid hard things. Did you hear me? In fact, we push through the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood. Why? Because we expect to get a touch from God every single time we meet. We expect God to do the impossible. Better than anything, our name is Only Believe. Woo! Praise the Lord. Well, church, when we talk about the things that are impossible, I get the honor of telling you where we are in our building campaign and what we're doing. Okay, so I want to just tell you, so every 2 weeks we're trying to do this, twice a month. So I'm going to tell you where our number is in order to eradicate, pay off, demolish the debt on our building. We now are at $168,531.19. That's a big decrease from the last 2 weeks. We are making progress, and we just say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We are putting our faith towards this every single day. When you walk by that campaign number out there, just speak, debt paid off in the name of Jesus, and just continue to ask the Lord if you have not contributed or you have not done anything yet. Just ask God if he wants you to do something. It's simple. If he says to do something, do it. If he doesn't, don't. That's how we work around here. Amen. So we are finishing up the series today, and I get the honor of talking about Rahab. Rahab, the first woman of our series who was built different. And she was built different rather than an entire city thought one way, but Rahab thought another. This woman stood out among the crowd. So we're going to dig right in today. We got a lot of reading to do, so keep up. Okay, so let's go to Joshua, the second chapter, and we're going to start in verse 1. All right, it said, "Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia Grove. He instructed them, 'Scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho.' So the two men sent out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. But someone told the king of Jericho, 'Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.'" Now, let me just stop right there. Yes, we mentioned spies. So we've got James Bond, dun, 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 right? And we talk about prostitutes. The Bible draws you in like a juicy novel. No, I'm not kidding. Like, I was talking to my nail tech last week, and I was telling her all the crazy things that happened in the Bible, and she's like, "That's in the Bible?" I'm like, "Oh, girl, you want to find some people that were really dysfunctional, you need to go to the Bible. Like, it's good." So it just shows they don't have nothing on us. But yeah, they had spies. So let's continue to read. "So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who have come into your house, for they have come here to spy out the whole land.' Rahab had hidden the two men, but she replied, 'Yes, the men were here earlier, but I didn't know where they were from. They left the town at dusk as the gates were about to close. I don't know where they went. If you hurry, you can probably catch up to them.' When actually, she had taken them up on the roof and hidden them beneath the bundles of flax she had laid out. So the king's men went looking for the spies along the road leading to the shallow crossing of the Jordan River. As soon as the king's men had left, the gate of Jericho was shut. Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up on the roof to talk to them." Now, I want you to note in this next conversation how Rahab speaks. A prostitute caught in sin, lying to the king, and this is what she says. "I know the Lord has given you this land." I know. She's already speaking their demise. She told them, "We are all afraid of you. Everyone in the land is living in terror. For we have heard how the Lord made a dry path for you, the children of Israel, through the Red Sea when you left Egypt. And we know what you did to the Shihon and Og and the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, whose people you completely destroyed. No wonder our hearts have melted in fear. No one has the courage to fight after hearing such things. For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." Now, we're going to stop there. So we see that the people of Jericho who are not serving the Lord are completely fearful. In fact, they're living in terror of God's people. I want to just stop right there and say that if the American church, I can't speak for the African church, I can't speak for the European church, I can only speak for the American church. If the American church could get a hold of what the prostitute in Jericho beheld, there would be no powerless churches in America, because there's an identity crisis that has come to encroach upon the church to tell us that God used to be a God of power. He used to be a God of signs, miracles, and wonders. But I'm here to remind you that just as Rahab had heard the stories of old, had heard the stories of the generation before, that I'm telling you that God is a God of power, miracles, signs, and wonders today. Yes, and if our identity could truly be birthed in Christ, then we would change our nation. Come on. I'm talking right where we're living. But we need to talk about the fear of the Lord. I want to talk about that because it's very important. See, in order to understand the true fear of the Lord, we got to travel back to Exodus. This is where the first time it comes into play. This was Exodus, if you don't know. The book of Exodus was written because it was the great exodus of the Israelite people. Okay? So let's go back to Exodus. And I'm going to set this up for you because we're only going to read one verse. But out of the 14th chapter, it tells us that they miraculously escaped Egypt. Now, keep in mind that Pharaoh didn't want to let the children of Israel grow because they were the slave machine to his entire nation. They were making bricks and mortar at the cheapest rate they had ever been. It was a slave mill. The problem was, one day Pharaoh looked out over the army and he realized that they were breeding faster than the Egyptians. And he realized that what he had captured was starting to become bigger and bigger and bigger. And the machine was one day going to be large enough that it could turn on him and take his empire. So he got a little nervous. But the Lord had a plan for God's people. So he sends 10 plagues, 10 problems, locusts swarming all over. He turns the water into blood that they can't drink it. It's terrible. And sends frogs one night and says, well, when do you want the frogs to leave, Pharaoh? He says, in the morning. Who would say in the morning? I would say now. I want the frogs gone now. 10 plagues, including the plague that he would kill the firstborn of every family. But if you took the blood of the lamb that the Jewish people were told to sacrifice a lamb for your house, and you would put the blood upon your doorpost, the death angel that was coming for all who did not believe in Christ would take the firstborn. He would pass over the houses that believed in God and served him. So we're up to this point and they come. Pharaoh lets the people go because he's lost his firstborn son. He's terrified. But as soon as he says he's going to let them go, he changes his mind and says, nope, I'm going after them. Nope, I'm not letting them go. But they're already on their way out. So here's where we pick up. In Exodus, the 14th chapter, the 13th verse, it says, now, the people of Israel see Pharaoh and all of his army coming after them. Actually, the army. It said, he answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. He will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Let me just say that faith is speaking to their fear. Yeah. Yeah. Faith speaks to your fear. When you find something that you hear in your life, something that your children are doing, something in the economic world, and immediately terror grips your heart, faith will silence fear in your life. But if you don't speak faith out, then the fear continues to run rampant in your mind. Okay, just so you know. We know the rest of the story. A lot of us do. He ends up delivering his people from the enemy, the Egyptians. He walks them through the Red Sea on dry land. And as soon as Moses raises his staff and the last Israelite has crossed over, the water swarms around, swallows all the Egyptians up, and they're gone. That fast. This begins to breed through the territories. But go to Exodus 14, the 31st verse. This is really good right here. I like it. It says, wait, let me get there. It says, and when the Israelites saw, wait, let me start, yeah, in the NIV. I want to start there. I want to read it in two translations today. It says, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Now, let me read it to you in the NLT. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him, and they put their faith in the Lord and his servant Moses. I read that in both translations because I want to tell you that the fear of the Lord for the unbeliever looks different than the fear of the Lord for the believer. Amen. See, fear for the unbeliever is terror and dread because you're fearful of what God's going to do to you because on judgment day, there's a payment for not living according to the Lord's plan. That's fear. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be afraid of judgment day. I think we should. But what I want to remind you is that because they were at enmity with God, they were in conflict, they were not submitting themselves to God, it caused them to cower from God, cower, to be fearful from him. But for the believer, that's not what happens. It looks much different. In fact, Proverbs, the 9th chapter, the 10th verse, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So how can it be two totally different things? It's not just wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, the word fear means to revere, to be in awe of him. As a believer, the fear of the Lord starts with, I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to be honest with you. That's some saved by fire, some saved by fear. Amen? I was one of those kids. My parents told me every night, you better ask God to forgive you before you go to bed, because if he comes like a thief in the night, you'll split hell wide open. Every night, that's what I got. So every night, I was making sure my heart was clean before God, just in case I missed it. I didn't want to be the one that was left behind. And if you were raised in the 90s like I was, or the 80s, you know the Left Behind series where you wake up and everything's changed in the world. Cars are broke down everywhere. People's clothes are left on the ground because they were snatched in the middle of the night. You know, my parents made sure I watched all those. So I'm not going to say that fear's not good. But the fear of the Lord matures in our lives as we mature. So what happens is when we're immature, the only thing we're fearful of is penalty. But when we mature, we begin to be fearful of mispleasing our God. By not living a holy life, it's not about the penalty that we'll pay. It's being at enmity with him. We don't want to be cut off from him. We want to be in this constant relationship with him. And it's important that we understand that. I think of, let me put it like this. When we go on vacation, we go to Aruba, and there's these big rocks. And at certain times of the day, when the tide is high, it will crash on these rocks. It's got so much power, so much fierceness. During the day, you walk down the steps, put your snorkel gear on, just go flat in, and you just soar right past it. But when that wave is crashing in, if you jump in, it's going to take your life. I stand in awe of the power of that crashing water. I look at God's creation and I go, wow. That's to be respected. That's to be revered. Now, obviously, I don't serve the water that crashes on the rocks. I'm trying to show you it's a different fear. It's an awe of what is present because it's so powerful. So powerful. People that, well, never mind. We won't even get in that. There are graves all over Aruba. Little crosses, little rocks piled up with crosses with people's names in. You wanna know why? Because somebody did not revere or stand in awe of the power of that crashing wave. And they went, oh, hey, I got my snorkel gear on. And they jump in the water and they die. And no one can dig them out. They're literally taken out to ocean because to dig them out means you would have to die also. And to call ambulance is 35 minutes away to the other side of the island. You're not getting them. The point is there is a deep sense of awe and reverence for his power and his majesty. When you and I walk in the fear of the Lord, it means every choice we make to please our Father. Why? Because we've seen the fear. We don't cower. In fact, for the believer, it emboldens us to run to him. Why? Because I want to please him. I want to do what's right. And when I'm closer to what's holy, I'm further away from what's wrong. This is what the Israelite people saw. They saw his power and they began to run to him. It propels me to be obedient. It's holiness. It produces courage and boldness inside of you. This is what happened to Rahab. Why in the world would someone lie to the king? Lie. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. She had those grasses up there on top of her roof for other issues. Straight up, she had hit other men before. And whether they were government officials, whether they were people of the church, I don't know what they were, but she was up to no good. And you don't learn how to hide something that quickly in the midst of problem, if you want to say that. This woman had lived a life of adultery, living a life of sin, living a life of betrayal, living a life of lying. And she had heard of the goodness of God and still believed that she was worth saving. See, she was built different. She was a Gentile that believed that when God said the land was the Israelites, that meant we are the foreigners in God's people's land, which, by the way, is still being fought over today. Still God's people, his land. And let me tell you, she hadn't just heard of walking across the dry land. She had heard about the plague. She had heard about the Israelites' shoes not wearing out, their clothes not having holes. She could see the cloud that shaded them by day and the fire that kept them warm by night and knew those were God's people. Don't touch them or he'll get involved. Some of us need to share the stories of what God's done. When's the last time we set our children down and told them about a struggle that we went through and said, but this is what the word of the Lord was said to your father or to your mother. This is how he brought us through the trial and the struggle. This is what God did for your grandpa and your grandpa's grandpa. Share the stories. Tell the testimonies of God's goodness and his mercy and his grace. Parents, I'm going to be real with you. Don't hold your ugliness back from your kids. You know, you think that because you tell them what you did when they're teenagers, they're going to use that against you. They're going to. But they're going to use it against you anyways. They're going to go do what they want because they're adults and they have to figure it out. And if they never know what sin is, they never know what his grace and mercy looks like. See, we want perfect children. Yeah, God didn't make those. He quit when he made me. Okay, you didn't have to laugh so quickly. Rahab knew that God was mighty and that he would surely save his people again. She didn't make God common. She held him in awe and reverence. Some of us treat God like a genie in our pocket. And when we need him, oh, then we pull him out. And we think he comes out for three wishes. And then we say, okay, I don't need you no more. Get back in that bottle and let me put you away. That's not how God works. No, if anyone's in a genie spot, it's me. Lord, rub my lamp and tell me what I need to do and I'll do it for you. What do you wish? How can I please you today? What can I do that would make a difference in your world and in your land? Oh, that he would carry me. Oh, that he would carry me and spark me during the day and rub on my back and say, now's the time, sister, move. Oh, that I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and walk with him and talk with him. But that I would never count him common. That I would never count him as just somebody that I call on when I'm in need. Church, I think we've got it backwards. Let's go back to Joshua. Let's go back to our story. Joshua 2:12. We're going to read more of it. It says, now swear to me. This is still Rahab talking. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when, faith being released, Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and my mother, my brothers and my sisters, and all their families. We offer our own lives as a guarantee for your safety, the men agreed. If you don't betray us, we will keep our promise and be kind to you. When? Now. Now the men of Joshua's army are talking faith back. They're letting them know, oh, this is surely going to happen because, see, we've possessed the land that God's giving us. We've crossed over and we're no more wandering around that mountain. Moses is dead and Joshua says, we're crossing over. I don't care what's on the other side, but we're leaving this place. We're leaving this place of murmuring, of complaining, of contempt, and we're going into what God has promised us. Some of us need to stop wandering around what God said we could have and step over the river, put the ark of God in front of us, don't look to our left, don't look to our right, and keep marching ahead. Stop living in what was. It's time to shake off the past. Begin to talk about what God did and how he brought you out instead of complaining about how long it took you to get there. Whew. Just keep going. Keep going. We offer our own lives and then when the Lord gives us land. Yep. Then, since Rahab's house, now listen to this, was built into the town wall. Did you get that? Rahab's house was inside of Jericho's walls. This is how thick they were. This is what they did to protect themselves from the enemy. It said, she let them down by a rope through the window. Escape to the hill country, she told them. Hide there for 3 days from the men searching for you. Then, when they have returned, you can go on your way. Before they left, the men told her, we will be bound by this oath we have taken only if you follow these instructions. When we come into the land, you must leave this scarlet rope hanging from the window through which you let us down, and all, someone say all, your family members, your father, mother, brothers, and all your relatives must be here inside the wall, inside the protection, inside God's plan with a red scarlet rope hanging out the window so we don't kill you all. If they go out into the street and are killed, it will be not our fault. But if anyone lays a hand on the people inside this house, someone say inside, we will accept the responsibility of their death. Now listen, Rahab was built differently because in the world, it would have been enough that Rahab herself was saved. Rahab didn't believe that. Rahab wanted a guarantee. She wanted a sign that, no, 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 no. I don't want just my life spared. I want my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my uncle, my aunts, the in-laws. I want them all. He said, you go get them and you get them inside God's protection. You get them inside, let me just tell you this, the red scarlet rope that she let down. Do you think she did not hear about the red blood that was put on the Israel doorpost and the death angel passed over. Here's what I'm telling you, that when you put your family inside the housing of God, when you put them inside the blood, there is nothing that can come nigh them. Now listen, hear me out. Hear me out. This doesn't mean that when God saves you, he saves your entire household. That's not true. Everyone must believe and accept Jesus on their own. We know this because a jailer in Acts, what did it say? Paul and Silas were trapped inside the jail cell. Oh, but at their darkest hour and at midnight, when they thought there was no hope and they weren't going to get out, all of a sudden they begin to lift up praise. They begin to lift up a shout in the middle of the prison, and the prison doors break open and the chains drop to the ground. And what happens? The jailer is ready to take his own life. They're like, what are you doing? They're like, no. If these prisoners leave, I'm in trouble. I was told to watch you. That's why I put you in the inner prison. They will take my life. It would be better for me to take my own than to be put to death by them. And guess what it says? It says that this man immediately gave his life to Christ and began to serve Jesus. And he said, but let me take you to my house, where Paul and Silas shared the gospel, and his whole house was saved. Let me tell you something. Your house will be saved by your action in the midnight hour. What does that mean, Pastor Nicole? It means when you're stuck in the struggle, when you're stuck in the adversity, when you don't know what to do, when you tell the testimony of what God told you to do and how he brought you out, you will be saved by the word, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of your testimony. Church, I don't think we give God enough glory for where he's brought us from. Do you realize that when your children see the goodness of God in your life, when they know your electric bill couldn't have been paid except by the grace of God, and someone came up to you at a gas station and filled your tank with gas free, and you were able to take that $75 and put it towards your electric bill, and then someone came through and said, I don't know what's going on, but here's a $50 gift card. I'm supposed to give this to you, and you use that for your food, and you were able to take your grocery money and put it towards your electric bill. You need to share the goodness of God and what he's doing in your life. Yes. Your children will believe. Believe. Rahab wasn't finished. She wasn't finished. I don't know how long it took her. I bet she walked all night long. This wasn't call up your friends and tell them, can you tell my mom down the road to get over here to the house? You know, the Israelites are coming through and they're going to tear this place down. And I just want to make sure she's saved. No, I bet she didn't even see that house that night. She was running to and fro to get her uncles, her aunts, her cousins. Church, put your shoes on. It's the midnight hour. And start running to your aunts, to your uncles, to their children, to your mothers and your fathers, and telling them about Christ. Rahab had a faith that she knew God was real. And if we really believed, like Rahab believed, that destruction is coming to anyone who does not believe in Christ, then we would be using the midnight hour to tell the story of how God saved us and brought us out. See, I have a testimony. I'm a witness on a stand. What does a witness do? A witness tells the story of what Christ did in their life. No one can rebuttal what God's done for you. Everyone will argue the word of God. Turn Facebook on. Lord, if you said we're supposed to love our neighbor as Christ, well, who's your neighbor? I'll tell you what, it ain't this person and it is this person. No, it's not what God says. It's what it is. I mean, you can find an argument about anything. People don't want to argue the Bible with you. They can't argue your testimony. You want to know why? Because it happened to you. No one can take that away from you. That's your own right. So when you go up to someone, you tell them, say, hey, I just want you to know this is what God's done in my life. They're going to be like, what? How did he do that? It's not like, well, the church I go to says blah, 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 blah. No, why? It's your experience. Doesn't take a lot to share the gospel. All you have to do is step up on the stand and tell a witness. Tell the story of what you saw in your own life. Makes it sound a little bit easier, doesn't it? Hebrews 11:31 says that by faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not. By faith, she changed her immediate future. And her faith is what set her apart. I ask you, if the world was looking differently at Jesus, would you have the faith that it took to believe that you were going to be delivered and saved by him? Because I'm telling you, church, we're coming into a day, we're coming into a time, we're coming into an age where what is wrong is going to be right, and what is right is going to be wrong. And without the guide of the Holy Spirit, the discerning of spirits, you will not know whether it's of God or the devil. Many will do signs and wonders in his name. Many. And he'll look at them and call them workers of iniquity. I know you not. Signs and wonders doesn't make you a follower of Christ. It makes you someone who knows how to work in a gifting and a calling that God put on your life, and you can still be living like a devil. This is why God tells us in the Bible tells us, know those who labor among you. Let me just take this moment. Yep, I got 4 minutes and 54 seconds. You know what? Let me just take this moment to remind you that those people that you listen to on the internet, on YouTube, on Facebook Live, these people you do not know, and they're telling you your scriptures, they're telling you what prophetically is going to happen, and you start shaping and shifting your life accordingly. You don't know them. You don't know them. You don't know their life. You don't know their action. You don't know if they're not sleeping with the secretary or sleeping with the maintenance man. You don't know. Sorry, David, that wasn't intentional. I know you're the maintenance man, but it just came to me. I had to put it in girls' term too. You don't know them. Why in the world would you set yourself up to listen to someone on YouTube rather than listening to the shepherd who shepherds your soul? Why would you follow a man with a sword instead of a man or a woman with a shepherd's staff that I can stick it around your neck and pull you out of the depths of hell? Right? Although, that was a little aggressive. It's very gentle. It's a comforting thing. Sometimes. It says that the shepherd's staff comforts me. It's the word. Why? What does that mean? That when I speak, I know your life. We know what you're struggling through, so we're here to help you. That man on YouTube or that woman on YouTube don't. I'm telling you, there's some hairy, carry stuff out there. Brady brought me this lady last week, and I don't even remember her name, but I thought to myself, she was charging to get a prophetic word. I thought, are you kidding me? You cannot sell God's gift. You cannot sell words. I can give you a word. I can charge you $25. Here's your word. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion. What's your name? The Lord is good to David. He's going to shower compassion on all of his creation. That's about how senseless that is. Give me a break. That's no different than paying for a psychic. You might as well go get a read. Don't do that. People, I'm telling you, online is amazing. Online is amazing. The fact that we have all this information at our fingertips is beautiful, but we should be the smartest church in the world by now with all this information. But yet it seems like the more we go, well, I'm not going to use that word, the more ignorant we become. Listen, God had set Rahab apart. She was flawed. She was flawed. And I remind you, church, I heard this from a young kid I was talking with this week. And he had some hard choices to make. Family living a certain way. He was asked to participate in something he didn't want to do. And it convicted his heart. And he said, you know, Pastor Nicole, the entire time I was talking to my family member, I kept hearing the Lord say to me, it's not too far gone. It's not too far gone. And I remind you, church, there's not one of your family members that is too far gone. Rahab was a prostitute working tricks, for goodness sakes. She may have been a high-class call girl for all we know. We don't understand what it was, but what I know is that what she was doing was living a life of ill repute. Ill repute, something like that. Yeah, like the House of New Orleans. whatever that was. My mom used to, House of the Rising Sun. Don't ever sing that to your children. That used to be a lullaby. Mom, she sang the words Amazing Grace to the House of the Rising Sun melody. I don't think that worked like that, but it's all right. My point is, Rahab wasn't to be used. She was to be thrown away. She was to be discarded of. She was the bottom of the barrel in Jericho. Yet she was the one that believed. Let this be a note to you and I that he used me, flawed, broken, imperfect. He used you, imperfect, flawed, and broken. And it wasn't just so that she would believe and be saved, but so that her whole house would be saved. Church, that's crazy right there. It's crazy. And I'm telling you that if you don't hang on to a promise that you don't believe is yours, you won't have the promise. But I ask you this. If a farmer puts a seed in the ground and that farmer dies, does that seed still live? So if a mother, if a father would put a promise in the ground that me and my household shall be saved, my children will turn their eyes from wicked things and they will depend upon God. My children in their time of need will lift up their hands and declare that God is a God, that he can do it and no one else can. Then I'm telling you, if you die, your seed will still grow in the ground. You might not be here to see the harvest, but someone of the next generation is going to water, and the next generation might harvest, but that child will be in heaven if you believe. I'm telling you, that's a hard sell, but some of you need hope rebirthed in your hearts again. It's been a long time, and you think that it looks hopeless. It's not hopeless. God is a God of hope. Go to Joshua 6. We are finishing up. Ooh, buddy, 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 wait. The sixth chapter. Here we go. In the 20th verse, it says, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could. And suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. Go down to 23. The men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mothers, her brothers, and all the other relatives who were with her in belief, with her in the house, with the blood of the lamb hanging from the window, saying, this is what we believe, and victory will be ours. How does an entire wall around a city collapse and leave Rahab's house standing tall? I bet everyone in that town was like, she definitely slept with that man to get that left up. They were judging her like crazy. You know they were, but it wasn't because of what she had sold. It was because what she had believed. Woo! She bought what they were selling, and that was Jesus. Amen. Victory was God's. Now go down to the 25th verse. It says, so Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, and her relatives who were with her in the house because she had hidden the spies that was sent spies Joshua sent to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. I'm telling you that when you build your life upon Christ, you need to remember that the blood redeems. The blood pays a price that I could not pay for myself. It speaks a better word. It speaks a better word. It delivers us. It provides for us. No matter how we're feeling, no matter how grim our life or our children's lives or our aunt's lives, our uncle's lives look, we are to run to Christ. Because the fear of the Lord brings us courageous behavior. of boldness. It doesn't cause me to cower from the hard things. It doesn't cause me to cower from sharing the testimony with my family of what God's done. It allows me to approach him boldly. Go, God, this is who I am. And God, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we overcome sickness, lack, poverty. It propels me. And I choose faith in every situation. I'm going to ask everyone here today, it's going to sound crazy, but I don't know if you have paper. If you don't, grab an offering envelope. Use it as your paper. I want you to write down the name of your family members on this paper. And I know this sounds crazy, but I want you to put action to what we're saying today. I'm going to give you just a few minutes. I want you to write these things down. You can make a mental note, but I'd rather them be on paper. Notes on your phone. Hold your phone up. That's Randy, new generation. As soon as you get those names wrote, I want you to come to the altar. Some of you need spurred on in your faith. Some of you, I've heard you, some grandmas in here. I've heard some moms, some dads. I heard a brother last week. You got some wayward family members. We're going to be proactive. We're not just going to let God do what God's going to do. We're going to release our faith towards these family members. And we're going to pray certain things together, but together we're going to join our faith. For wherever one or two are gathered in my name, that's where we're going to do this together. We're going to do this together. We will put 10,000 to flight. Come on, Joe. Got to be something in that for you being the first one down here. Amen and amen. The reason I'm having you come down is because this is your faith being released. I believe these people are coming to Jesus. Right? In my Bible, I've got my list. I carry these with me on a regular basis. Some of these aren't my family members, but few are. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this. Look at this, church. Look at all the family members that are lost. Look at this. And you can't tell me you don't have a reason to join with your brothers and sisters in faith about something. About something. Come on, scoot up, make room. Scoot up. Mom, Randy, I'm going to ask that you give yours to someone else here. Jess, I'm going to give you mine. Mom, Randy, you want to hold them in your pockets, give them to someone else. I need you praying with us.
Okay.
Pastor Rick, Lynn, give yours to someone else because you're going to touch these. We're going to join our faith. Come on, all the way in, squish in. This is where family gets here. You know those stinky family gatherings at Christmas and Easter? It's 100 degrees in the house? Yeah, that's what this is right here. So just scoot in. You're fine. Hopefully everyone put their deodorant on. Yeah? Okay. I'm going to pray. And while we're praying, I want you guys touching those papers in agreement with everyone that's here. I think this is important. Come on, we got a few more coming down. They're still coming. Feel free, walk into those aisles, guys, and touch. Don't leave if your paper has not been touched and agreed upon. I don't want you to. I want the power of agreement to touch that paper today. Amen? All right. Father, lift up your names. Lift them up, because we're going to make a declaration. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we're coming to you like Rahab. Father, we believe in the blood of Jesus. We believe in the Christian walk of life. And God, we're asking you to draw these people to Jesus. Prepare their hearts to receive salvation. Bind the spirit right now in the name of Jesus that blinds them from receiving the gospel. Let them see the light out of the darkness. We release the spirit of knowledge and wisdom right now that they would desire to know you and the power of your resurrection. Father, I'm asking that every heart here would be strengthened and embodied in the name of Jesus, that they would be lifted up, Father, to do. Go ahead, move amongst your crowds, touch. Father, I thank you, Lord, that these family members will come to know you in a greater way. God, that they're not running from the gospel. They're running to the gospel. Lord, I thank you for these sons and daughters that are running. I rebuke that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Identity, gender issue, I command it to come off of them in the name of Jesus and to set her free. I thank you, Lord, that they're coming to know you at a greater level. Commitment will be solid. There is no more running, that the commitment has been made and it will be honored. They will seek you and run to you, God, at a rapid rate in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that blinders are being taken off that family in the name of Jesus. Religion, the spirit of religion is being broke in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I see kids in a pit. I see kids in a dark place that God says, I'm going to begin to reveal my light. I'm going to begin to reveal my light. Things that were fun are not going to be fun any longer. The alcohol, the spirit of addiction and alcoholism, I bind you in the name of Jesus. That addiction to weed, that addiction to painkillers, I command it to go in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for a newfound faith. A refiring, a rebirthing of some things that have died in some family members' hearts coming back alive. I thank you, Lord, that they'll remember who they were. Once again, I call to the backslider right now in the name of Jesus. I call them out right now. You'll come from the left, the right. Oh yeah, north, south, east, and west, you'll come forward. Come forward and begin to redeem the things that were lost in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Oh God, tell the testimony that once was Deb. Tell the testimony of God's grace and his goodness with love, tenderness, and kindness, says the Lord. Love, tenderness, and kindness. Yes, Lord. Oh, Deb, God says that I've seen those many times that you've asked me, that you've come to me. I've heard your prayer. They're coming. Begin to celebrate like the prodigal father that said, I see them from afar off. He says, begin to see them as I see them running home, because they're coming home, says the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that the eyes of the blind are being opened in the name of Jesus. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that from their workplaces, I see people witnessing from their workplaces. I see people coming into their lives to speak the word of God a different way than their parent, a different way with an open heart, an open mind in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you've touched them, God, that you've brought these families into the fold in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. God would say that it's not going to happen the way you want. It's going to happen his way, and you're going to have to let God have him. Every day, give him up, don't take him back. Give him up, don't take him back. God's got this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Karen and her husband back there, we prayed over there, Elizabeth. Do you want to go back?
I'll get him after church, okay. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Church, reignite your faith that you once found. And remember the faith of Rahab that wasn't just enough for her, but it was for her whole family. I finished today by throwing out a scarlet cord. I ask if there be anyone in the house today that says, Nicole, I need to be forgiven. I need the blood of Jesus. My mom's been believing for my salvation my whole life. Maybe she's not here today. That's okay. That's all right. You can bring her back and we can let her see you walk down the aisle one more time. Nothing like a mom seeing her babies come to Jesus. But if you're here in the house today and you're like, Pastor Nicole, my life's not right, but I do believe in Jesus. I'm like Rahab. I'm living a life that isn't pleasing to God, but I believe in him and I know time is short. I can see time eroding and God is approaching. If there's anyone here today, if we would just close our eyes, bow our heads, I'm just going to ask you while no one's looking,
that you would just lift up your hand. Yes. Yes. Come on down. Look at her. That the fear of the Lord would cause you to be bold and courageous, and you would accept his gift today. That you would come and say, Lord, I've not been living right. Anyone here? Anyone else in this house? Thank you. Took strength and courage, my dear. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Someone's already broke the ice. Someone that would make it right with God today. Says, Lord, I know I've been distant from you. I've not been living for you the way I should. But I want to come back home. Is there anybody? All right, let's pray. You repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
I'm coming back.
I'm coming back.
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I turn from my own ways.
I turn from my own ways.
I denounce the devil.
I denounce the devil.
And I live for you.
And I live for you.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Fill me.
Yes.
Fill me. Fill me once again. There it is. There it is. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Look at that. Father, we thank you. I repent of my sins, oh God. And I believe in you. I'm going to live for you every day. Until you return. I'll be ready. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome home. Welcome home. Oh, sweetie. He never left. Church. Church, I remind you, next Saturday is Pray First at 8 a.m. If you've never taken the time to come out for prayer on Saturday, Pastor Randy and I would love for you to join us, where we'll be praying from 8 to 9. Trust me, it's easy. It's easy. Just come on out and try it once, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you, and Lord, just bless the people as they go on their way. Father, protect them, Father, from the storms. I thank you, Lord, that no storms, tornadoes, Father, would touch us that they're warning of tonight. God, that our homes and our families would be safe. We plead the blood of Jesus over our houses and our homes. And I thank you, Lord, that you would bring someone into our path that we could tell our testimony to. God, that we could share of the goodness of God and bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you need prayer and you're sick in your body, our altar team is here to pray with you today, and we want to say a prayer.